Welcome to the Salt and Light Podcast. Be salt and light, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Hey everybody, welcome to this edition of the Salt and Light Podcast. I am your host, Chuck Fulkerson, joined by the larcenous Annie Fulkerson.
Larcenous?
Larcenous.
Like as in larceny?
Like as in larceny.
Oh.
Because you're a thief.
A thief?
A thief.
Why?
You sit across from me wearing my sweatshirt and my sweatpants.
I am so cold.
Thief.
I needed the maximum amount of fleece I could possibly get my hands on, and that involved your PJs.
Hashtag larcenous.
Yeah, which is why we're not live streaming video tonight, because I'm in your PJs tonight.
Could you imagine? No, we should live stream video, but what we should do is we should live stream video on a night where we switch PJs. It's kind of like, you know, I was joking around. Like, it's like, you as my wife, you can take my PJs and it's comfy. But if I take your PJs, it's creepy.
Yeah, creepy.
Yeah. It's just not going to look cool.
No. There is that whole, like, you're just about a foot taller than I, so.
Foot taller, 100 pounds heavier, but, yeah. You know.
Details.
Small details. Yeah. Small details. So this is our first podcast of the new year.
It is.
Happy New Year!
Happy Woo! New Year! And Merry Christmas still.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Christmas. We got a few more days of Christmas.
We do. And we fought. We thought that.
And I won. I fought the law and the law won.
We thought that this particular episode, since it's the first of the new year, would be a good one to talk about New Year's resolutions.
I resolve to not have a resolution. Oh, crap. I just broke it.
Yeah. You would be in 42% of the population that resolves to never have a New Year's resolution.
Well, then,
according to Business Insider.
No, stop. If you resolve.
Collaborate and listen. I got a brand new invention.
Good point. I did drop an all right stop. If you resolve to not have a resolution, then by definition, you have a resolution and you have already failed. Hashtag lawyered.
Well, they put those people into a particular category. The people who resolve.
If you say my resolution is not to have a resolution, then you have a resolution.
But there's so many people that say that they actually put themselves, the statistic people, the statisticians, if you will, put them into their own category. And they make up about 42% of the population.
Nah, and 74% of all statisticians make up statistics 83% of the time.
That may be true, but I don't know. I can cite some of this stuff.
Okay, I'm sure you can. So, but no, that's a good one. We'll talk about New Year's resolutions, what they mean to you. Mm-hmm. Did you make a New Year's resolution this year?
No, because we're going to talk about that.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's dive in.
Let's see. I'm trying to pull up some of the stuff that I don't even know where it went.
You're not prepped.
Where did it go? Oh, there it is. New Year's resolution statistics. This was kind of cool, so I wanted to have that ready, and I didn't before you started. Okay. So I wanted to kind of talk about why we make them. Why do people make New Year's resolutions? Would you like to know what some of the top New Year's resolutions are?
Oh, the top New Year's resolutions for 2018 are
okay. According to statisticbrain.com.
Let me guess if one of them, let me try to guess first. How many are there?
The easiest way. We could just do a few. They're
I'm sure
ranked.
One's going to be not eating.
Right.
Not eating poorly.
Losing weight.
Number two is going to be not spending too much money.
No, that one actually is number three.
Number three. I knew it would be close.
Mm-hmm.
Is not spending too much time on social media one?
If spending more time with your family and close friends counts for that, then like actually spending time in person with people, then maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because those are the three that I would say are the most common.
Yeah, but that one is not until number six.
Really?
Number two is put into the life/self-improvement category.
I don't know what
that means. Maybe be more organized or something?
Oh, yeah. Be more organized.
Quit smoking is number four.
How many people still smoke? Like, aren't there like only 12 people that still smoke? I just don't, like, it seems like smoking has kind of fallen away. It's like canceled due to lack of interest.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely decreased over the years, certainly from when I was a kid.
Right.
Number five is sort of weird. It just says do more exciting things.
Hashtag yeah.
Yeah.
Like exciting things meaning?
I don't know.
Jump out of an airplane?
I guess maybe instead of binging on Netflix, do maybe, more exciting
maybe
things.
Maybe some people are too boring and they need to get out and do other exciting things. You're maybe. Right. It's a good point.
So number six was spend more time with family. Number seven is work out more often. Number eight is learn something new on my own. Number nine is do more good deeds for others. That's
that
nice.
That should not be number nine.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. And then number 10.
You think that one would be a bit higher up on the list.
You think. You'd think, but that's only 5.2% of the population.
Okay.
Well, actually, 5.2% of the people who are making resolutions. Number 10 is find the love of my life.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And according to this website, 42% of Americans absolutely never make a New Year's resolution.
Okay.
41% usually and 17% infrequently make a New Year's resolution.
Okay.
And I think of the top 10, they all have one major thing in common.
All of them.
All of them.
Okay.
They're all positive.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody resolves to...
I'm going
to
make this year the year that I eat nothing but bacon.
Yeah, right.
I resolve that this year I'll get, you know, hepatitis.
Yeah. Nobody resolves to have something terrible happen. Resolutions are always something.
I don't know. Exercising more might be terrible.
Well, it has a good outcome. We may not enjoy doing it, but
right.
it has a good outcome. But people don't resolve to do bad stuff.
Nobody says, I resolve to play more video games.
I don't know. Some people might. There's the rise of the gamer.
That's true. It's a good point.
Yeah. But we resolve to do something better. And we seek for higher goals,
right?
Like a higher state. Business Insider, another website I was taking a peek at, they had a statistic that said that 80% of resolutions fail by
January 15th.
No, actually February 1st.
February 15th.
Within the first 6 weeks.
Yeah. What percent?
80.
I'm surprised it's that low.
80% fail. And according to Forbes, Forbes magazine, they said that only 8% of resolutions, actually, or 8% of people actually achieve their resolutions.
So when you achieve your resolution, like if your resolution is to eat better, to me that's an undefined resolution to achieve,
which is
why it would fail.
Well, no, they actually followed these people for at least 12 months.
Got it.
So they were saying that they made, because typically when you, it takes 30 days to make a habit. And so they were following these people for a very, very extended period of time, seeing
right.
if they actually stuck to it. So, so Business Insider, 80% of resolutions fail by mid-February, and Forbes says 8% actually achieve their resolutions. So that's pretty low.
It is pretty low. I mean, why do you think it's so low?
It's a pretty low success rate. I mean, if it's so low, I wonder why people actually even bother. Like, why
right.
bother?
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think we all want. Well, are striving for something better.
Yes.
Maybe not all, but most. At least the people who are making resolutions are striving for something better. And I think that insinuates that there would be meaning.
Right.
There's some sort of meaning. You know, things in life aren't arbitrary, right? If we're striving for something, you know, that's greater than ourselves or something... you know, trying to attain some sort of goal or something better. We're trying to improve ourselves. Why would we be doing that if life is just arbitrary and meaningless? I don't think we would.
No. I think that you're right. Everybody wants to do something to make them better. But this is like the goal-oriented person that comes out of me. A goal's got to be defined. And so to truly make
smart goals.
Yeah. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a defined goal in order to really be a goal. In that case, it's just not a goal.
Right.
It's, you know.
Right. And I'm looking at it even from like a higher level from that is why even have a goal to begin with?
Okay.
You know, why even have something to shoot for? There must be something in us that's driving us to want to be better. To
okay.
demonstrate that there is meaning, that life and stuff is not just arbitrary. We are not arbitrary. We must have some sort of significance that in our, within ourselves, in our, you know, in our DNA, in our programming, wants us to, we want ourselves to be better. We're striving for something better. So if some things have meaning, all things must have meaning. And if all things have meaning, then all things matter. That means you and your choices, all things matter. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, as a believer,
sure.
I would hope that we all agree.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. All things matter, but some things matter more than others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But I'm, you know, just comparing why someone would make a resolution compared to someone who,
sure.
you know, would not make a resolution. If someone is making a resolution, you must be starting from some sort of a baseline point of, I want to be better because of something. Something is driving me to be better. There must be some sort of meaning that's driving me to be better. If not,
then why bother?
Then why bother?
Right. But right? Just crawl in the coffin and wait.
Exactly. And I think that is a very, that's one of the things that I think is most attractive about being an agnostic or being an atheist, is that nothing matters. My choices don't matter. I can do whatever the heck I want and there's no consequences. That's why I think it's such a...
It's easy.
It's easy.
Because when I die, I'm just going to go on the ground and be eaten by bugs anyway.
Right. So it's okay. Why bother? You know, there's nothing that you're striving for. But I think that if you are striving for something, it's a natural response. We're programmed to want to be better or strive for something. Because I think in all of us, we know that there is a significance to all things. We can't just all be here, like, look around. If you're with someone or if you're out in nature, or this is not arbitrary stuff. If it were, God, how depressing.
Right.
You know, but it's not. I you know, and of course we're on a Catholic podcast. Of course, we don't think that it's all arbitrary. Of course, we think
sure.
there's meaning. But then if these things and goals and et cetera have meaning, then why do resolutions fail? That's the million-dollar question. Why do you think they fail?
So here's what I believe. You know, it's funny because I think it was a tweet or something we read that week between Christmas and New Year is that week where you're arbitrarily waiting to change your life.
You have no idea what day it is. No idea what time it is.
You have no idea what day it is. No, you're like, even our five-year-old son's like, Daddy, is it Sunday? No, Charlie, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Are you sure? We went to Mass twice. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's, they don't, you know, you, number one is you arbitrarily wait and you say, okay, I'm going to do it. It's like starting a diet on Monday, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to start my diet on Monday. I'm going to, everybody starts a diet on Monday and they're done by Wednesday. Hump day, and it's over, right? I find it easier, and I've done, I find it a lot easier to, if I'm going to do something similar to a resolution, the closest I would do to that is a Lent, is giving up something for Lent, right? So like I gave up red meat 1 year. That was tough. I gave up bacon.
I know, you're
I gave ornery. Up burgers and bacon and steaks and ribs and all the stuff I love. I was ornery. I was angry. But the reason I did is because there's celebration at the end, right? There's something you're working towards. And that's why I was talking about having a goal, right? My goal when I went through, you gave up, I didn't just give up red meat because I joined you and also gave up coffee. Mm-hmm. Did you give up red meat too?
Yeah, we gave up the things that we consider luxury items.
And we loved each other enough to give up each other's, which is stupid.
I'll never do that again.
I'm never doing that again. If you want to give up coffee, that's on you, woman. But we both gave up red meat and coffee, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Right? There's something that you're waiting in anticipation for, right? Mm-hmm. There's a goal, there's a hope. If you go through that list again, right? That list that you read, number one was to eat better. What does that mean? Number two was life goals, to be more organized. What does that mean? Number three was to be better with money. What does that mean, right? If you don't have a target, you don't have a goal. You've got a hope, right? It's like smoking hopium. Eventually, it's just going to burn out. You've got to have some sort of a goal, and that's kind of why whenever I've done these things, I've always done it around Lent, because I think that Lent makes a lot more sense, right? There's a reason for it. You're waiting in anticipation for something. That's just what I believe.
Yeah, I love not talking before the podcast because I love to see what you're gonna say during it, because you know,
for people who think that we rehearsed, oh no, we do not. We don't talk about any of this.
There's no, we just put our kids to bed and we sit down at the computer and go for it.
I have a glass of bourbon and she has coffee. You did, with a
big exciting ice ball.
That's right. I got an ice ball.
We went to a Christmas party and there was a white elephant gift exchange and we made out, man. I got this beautiful teapot and you got this.
I got a bottle of Doors ice mold.
Yeah, with a gigantic ice mold. Ball That's thing, right. Ice cube mold. I don't even know what you call it. It's pretty impressive. Yeah. But anyway, but I love not chatting beforehand about what we're, you know, what we're going to talk about, because I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think resolutions fail because we want the wrong stuff.
That's a good way to put it.
We want the wrong things. And when I was thinking about when we want sort of like arbitrary things, and you said like it doesn't have a target. Right. We're arbitrarily setting there's nothing wrong with wanting to be healthier or be more organized, but they're arbitrary if not rooted in something. And so when I was thinking about, you know, that you just said like the week between Christmas and New Year's and nobody knows what day it is and what hour it is.
The twilight zone.
It's freezing cold outside. And like our friend said, like, what do you do when it's cold outside? You take your pants off and you go back in bed.
Oh, she's a genius, by the way. So, we went to her house for dinner and literally it said how to handle the cold. Step one, take off your pants. Step two, get back in bed.
This is brilliant. So, but I was thinking about that. And I was thinking how, you know, as Catholics, Christmas and Easter, but we're in the Christmas season now. Christmas is not a day. Christmas is a season.
Right.
So Christmas lasts from, it is such, and the reason it's a season, in short, but the reason it's a season is because it is such a mystery that the feast of Jesus can't be possibly comprehended in one day. And so the church allows us this time to like marinate in the mystery, if you will, right? To
marinate in the mystery. Yeah, that I
didn't have that written down. Was that too weird? That just like came to me.
Awkward.
Okay, sorry. But it allows us to spend time thinking and meditating and praying about, you know, this feast of Christ, the incarnation, Christmas, from December 25th until Epiphany on January 6th.
Right.
Exactly halfway between those two feasts is New Year's.
Right.
When everybody's trying to make their resolutions. So it's the halfway point in the Christmas season. 6 days after Christmas, 6 days before Epiphany. We are smack dab in the middle of a season of intense mystery and joy and hope over the incarnation. And in the midst of that season, we resolve to lose 10 pounds.
Woo-hee.
What? You know what I mean? Like,
hashtag miss the boat.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think that they're just disjointed. Like, right. We're not rooting our resolutions in things that we really take seriously.
Number nine was to be nicer to people.
And it's nine. And it was only like, what did I say? 41% of people make resolutions. See, and of that, 5% resolve to be nice.
I resolve to go, I'm going to go to the homeless shelter. I'm going to go to St. Martha's Kitchen and cook in the homeless shelter twice a week. That's what I'm going to do for all of 2018. Yeah. That's a different type of goal.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that is because it's achievable. It's time sensitive. It's realistic. It's a smart goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's also rooted in what we're called to be. Right? We are already, remember, we operate from a place of victory. Christ already died on the cross.
So I'm not called to be skinnier and wear tan.
we'll talk about that after we hit stop. We Christ already died. He already rose from the dead. He has already opened the gates of heaven. We are already saved, right? Now we can lose that salvation because the Bible tells us we can, but if we are horrible people and sin and we're not forgiven and blah, blah, blah. But Christ, we're operating from a place of victory.
Right.
We wait in joyful hope. That hope is not like, oh, I hope it's going to be sunny tomorrow. No, like we wait in hope because we know that we have a Savior. So as co-heirs with Christ, St. Paul tells us in his epistles, we are co-heirs with Christ. We're already saved. We are already part of the mystical body of Christ through baptism. So if we are making, like, we're called to be co-heirs with Christ. We're called to be part of his mystical body, which we already are through baptism. And so when we feel these urges in the middle of the Christmas season to be better people, and then we resolve to lose 10 pounds,
right.
Like we're not there. I'm trying to find the right words, but like, it's like a disjointedness, you know? And so, you know, we're resolving to do these things and we're failing because they don't, it's not that they don't matter. Losing weight, being healthy, I'm not saying that that's not a good thing. But what I am saying is that we're resolving to do the wrong things. If we resolve to do the right things, the other things will fall into place. Because if we're resolving to be better Christians, right? Follow in the ways of Christ, be part of the mystical body, we won't be gluttonous. We might not need to lose weight, right? We will be really good people because we will be giving and generous. And,
right.
You know, if you have two coats, give one away, you know, like St. Paul tells us, or no, Luke, John the Baptist, he was preaching right. About that. If you have two coats, give one away, right? So we will already be generous. If we are striving to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to truly live up to our birthright.
The other stuff takes care of itself.
The other stuff takes care of itself. Yeah. What do you think?
Does that mean I don't have to give up bacon this year?
I don't think so.
Yes.
I think it's okay. Christ came to fulfill the law, so you can eat bacon.
Yes. I'm good.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's perfect. I think that sums it up, you know, greatly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But once again, not that a resolution is a bad thing. It's just because a lot of people out there probably say, oh man, I made one and I already broke mine. If you're listening to this and you've already broke your resolution, then that's okay.
There's still time.
We still love you.
Christmas is not over yet. And good for us. It's never too late to resolve to follow Christ. I think the first thing we need to do, though, is realize that we need a Savior. If you don't realize that you need a Savior, then this whole podcast, like, you'll have no idea what we're talking about. But if you don't realize that you're a sinner, but also that there is someone who has already forgiven sins and come to conquer death and conquer sin, and someone who can save you from your own sins, then all of this is kind of a moot point. Unless you know that you need a Savior, I don't know. I don't know what you could resolve to do.
Well, I don't know about you. I don't sin, so I'm good.
Oh, you're good.
I'm good.
I mean, you're Saint Chuck.
That's got a nice ring to it. It's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah. I don't know. And I just wanted to kind of bring up, leave everyone with a quote from Saint Paul from Philippians. So Saint Paul was writing, Philippi was a Roman city. It was the first city in Europe that St. Paul actually colonized in Europe, and it was converted in about, they think, like 49-50 AD.
Okay.
He was writing about 10 to 15 years later when he was incarcerated, one of the times he was incarcerated, and he was writing to the Philippians, and they were actually like a pretty good, faithful group of you know, new Christians that, that Paul was writing back to. And sometimes they call this the epistle of hope or epistle of joy, because it's such a beautiful epistle. And he was so elated writing to them. But there's a section in chapter 3, starting with verse 12, and he says, "It is not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue in my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I for my part do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. Let us then, who are perfectly mature, adopt this attitude. And if you have a different attitude, this too, God will reveal to you. Only with regard to what we have attained, continue on the same course." And I think what you were talking about before, having something, you know, like your how you love to give things up during Lent, because right. you know that there is the feast, the celebration of Christ at the end, you know, that you get to look forward to. And that's what, you know, in that small microcosm, you know, a small example of what the larger goal that St. Paul is talking about there. We have this this larger goal, this life in Christ Jesus, this upward yearning, you know, this upward movement, upward calling, he calls it God's upward calling, that that we can always be striving for, always be resolving to try to attain. So I think if we spend the remainder of this Christmas season and then as we go into ordinary time, maybe just spend some time in prayer and ask God to reveal to your heart, you know, what's important to you. And if it doesn't align with what God thinks is important to you, pray that he reveals that to you.
Or you can just do like the Bob Newhart psychological advice. Stop it. If anybody wants to understand why I'm not a psychologist, go to YouTube and type Bob Newhart, stop it. Then you'll understand very quickly why I'm not in psychiatry or psychology.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, in case anybody's wondering, so we gave up that red meat for 40 days, and I was told, like, when you give up red meat, you'll feel better, you'll get more energy. Nope. I just felt like I needed a steak.
Yeah.
And then I think we had coffee cover. Didn't we have coffee-crusted ribeyes?
I did.
We had coffee-crusted ribeyes for Easter dinner. It was awesome.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are like, oh, do you feel so much better? I'm like, no, I feel like I want a steak. Anyway.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. As usual, if you you have any podcast topics, especially going into the new year, anything you want to know about or you know, questions or whatever, feel free to email us, Annie@saltandlightonline.com, or reach out on social media, Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And keep the suggestions coming. We love to do listener requests.
Awesome.
All right. St. Anthony the Abbot.
Pray for us.
Peace be with you.
You've been listening to the Salt and Light Podcast. Be salt and light, glorifying the Lord by your life.